Good morning, church. My name is Alan Smith. I'm one of the pastors here. I am not Jeff Strucker. So if you are a guest with us today, I want to say welcome. I'm glad you've joined us today. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service in the Welcome Center. But if you have been with us for a while, you know we are going through the study on Moses, and we're looking at the world's second greatest leader. And this morning, we're going to take our text from Exodus chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Exodus chapter 18, or you can use the app that we have, and you can click on the button that says today's sermon, where all of the notes and everything is right there in front of you. You know, last Sunday was Father's Day, so I thought today would, in light of our text, would be kind of honorary Father-in-Law Day. Now, I know for some of you that kind of goes, father-in-law, I would just like to say that I have a great father-in-law. I've been blessed to have a good father-in-law. I'm not saying that because he's in the room or that he's going to buy my lunch today, but I do have a great father-in-law. He has been a good example to both me and my son as to what it is to be able to take care of your family. And so I'm very thankful. But he's offered me a little bit of advice. And so I thought I would pass that along to you this morning. When I decided to marry Miranda, it was right at Christmas time, 2001. I went over to the house. You know, you kind of have the, this sort of thing in your head, you know, the shotgun, the, you know, that. So I kind of had this, because I know he's got shotguns. I was just like, I know, I was, but hey, it was a very good experience. And we talked, we chatted, asked him if I could marry his daughter. He said, fine, take her off her hands. I did. But then he said, like, I got to call, here's a little advice for you. He said, if you will just learn to say, yes, dear, everything will go smooth. So I have. I've learned to say yes, dear. I say yes, dear, quite frequently in our home. It makes things a lot easier. So my father-in-law's good advice there. Another piece of advice, my father, he's an avid golfer. You know, he has a bad day golfing when he's like 76, 70. I mean, just terrible. Right? Oh, it's terrible. I'm having an amazing day if I hit 90. I'm like, yes, I got 90. I'm not a great golfer. So I had sort of built up, okay, I'm willing, I'm ready to go play golf with my father-in-law. And kind of through, and I started playing. I kind of start out strong and then just kind of fall off after like hole number two. So, you know, I hit the ball. And hey, not a bad swing you got there, son. I said, appreciate it. Thank you, appreciate it. Call me son. It's great. Well, for the rest of the holes, I spent most of my life in the wood line. I figure if you're going to play, you might as well get your money's worth. By the time we got to like hole 6, 7, 8, 9, he wasn't calling me son anymore. It was hacker. Hey, hack. What you hacking at? What you hacking at? Right, so, but by the end of the round, he gave me some really good advice. He said, get your shag bag, fill that thing with balls, and instead of going to the driving range, put your driver in the bag, get your putter and your wedge, and go chip and putt, chip and putt. Now, we just got back from vacation about a week or so ago. And let me just tell you, I could kill it on the mini golf course. All right? Putting? All right? That's some good advice. I got some good advice. Today we're going to look at a story where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, gives him some good advice. But before we get to that, I want to preface our sermon today with reiterating a couple of things we've heard over the last several weeks that we've been talking about Moses. One of them is this, that we are all leaders. We're all leaders. Everyone in this room is a leader. A leader is simply the ability to influence. We are influencing someone, and therefore we're a leader. Some influence a few, others influence a lot, but we're all leaders. Everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, male, female, doesn't matter, we are all leaders. We are leading someone. And as a matter of fact, we're called to be leaders. The Great Commission, as we're called as believers, is to make disciples. The only way to make disciples, and I know how to do it, is you influence other people to follow Christ the way that you are following Christ. We're called to be leaders. This is who we are. We're all this way. All of us in this room are influencers and leaders. Another thing that's important to remember as we've been studying through Moses is that we are all where God has us to be. You are right where God designed you, wants you, equips you, made you, formed you, fashioned you to be. Now, later in life, you may be in a different place and have better, bigger influence. Later in life, you may be in another place and have smaller influence. But you are where you are because God has put you there to lead those whom He has put you to influence. This is our calling. Moses, as we've studied Moses, we learned, has been called to lead the people out of Egypt. For 400 years, they were enslaved. And God says, Moses, I'm going to use you. I've heard their cry, and it's time for them to leave, and I'm going to use you. And I'm not just going to use you to go get them and take them out. I'm going to use you to be my mouthpiece to Pharaoh and to the people. I'm going to use you to take their commands, their issues, their whatever, and bring them to me. But more importantly, Moses, you're going to take the statutes and laws of God, and you're going to make sure that the people learn them. And you're going to teach them. And then you're going to tell them to teach their children and their children's children. This is essentially Moses' call. So let me put chapter 18 in our context as we kind of jump into understanding this leadership principle today. For 4.5 months, roughly, Moses has been leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. God has destroyed Pharaoh's army. They've not had food, so God gave them manna. They got tired of manna, so God gave them quail. They needed water, so God gave water out of a stone. I mean, there's just all kinds of amazing, miraculous things that have been happening. Where they were in camp, the Amalekites came and tried to destroy them because they've heard of all these things that God has done. And God delivered them from the Amalekites. Rumors have been spreading around the desert areas there of this people, these Hebrews, that are coming out of Egypt and all these amazing things that are happening. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, has heard. And he said, hey, they're close by. Let's take the family back to Moses. Because in chapter 4 of Exodus, Moses and his family left. The father-in-law were heading to Egypt. And at some point, Moses says, y'all go back to dad. I'll get you later. And so it's time to bring the family back. And so in chapter 18, what we have is Jethro is returning, or not returning, Jethro's coming. He's got Zipporah and the two boys in tow, and he's bringing them back to dad, bringing them back home. And he's heard all this wonderful stuff that's going on. And what we find in chapter 18 is they praise God and they worship God together of all of the wonderful things that God has done. And then we get to our story of chapter 18, beginning in verse 13. And here's what I want us to know at the beginning. You've got to stop trying to do it all by yourself. Stop trying to do it all by yourself. So in our text, chapter 18, beginning of verse 13, here's what it says. So the next day, the day before they had this wonderful feast, this great worship time, praise and worship God, sacrifices were made. So the next day, after this wonderful time of jubilee, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. Think about that for a moment. The people stood around Moses from morning until evening. Now, I don't know if you remember, the Hebrews have been incredibly cordial individuals. They have been incredibly obliging of all the wonderful... Right? I mean, these guys have been so grumbling and complaining. Can you imagine having to sit out in the sun in the desert, morning to sun night, trying to get, hey, this guy stole my goat. No, he didn't steal my goat. His tent's a little too close to my tent. I don't understand where we're supposed... Morning until evening, standing there trying to talk to Moses. Probably not the best experience from anybody involved. So Moses' father-in-law saw that was going on and what he was doing for the people. And he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and His laws. He's doing a good thing, right? He is doing a good thing. He's helping the people know what they should or shouldn't do. He's busy from morning to evening. Incredibly busy guy. God did not call Moses, though, to get in the weeds. God called Moses to lead the people. And Moses is being bogged down with the daily toil of judging the people. That's not what God called Moses to do. Moses had been called by God to a very specific ministry. You serve as the voice of God to the people. You represent the people to me, and you teach the people the statutes and laws of God. This is a ministry that only Moses can do. Aaron can't do it. Miriam can't do it. The judges and the elders of Hebrews can't do it. This is a job, a calling, a ministry, a task that only Moses can do. Because this is what God's called him to do. So this is a ministry all he can do. And yet he finds himself every day toiling over this ministry that's good, but that someone else could do. He was trying to make known the statutes and laws of God, but he was so busy judging the details and in the weeds with everybody that he was not able to actually teach or train people effectively. He was not effective at doing the most important thing because he was too busy doing the good thing. See, the role of judging the people, listening to their concerns, making decisions, somebody else could do that. Other people could do that job. Other people could do that task. Other people could do that ministry. Moses didn't have to do that. The tyranny of the urgent and the lack of developing leaders caused Moses to be an ineffective leader at doing what God had called Moses to do. Teach the people. Train them in the things that I've told you. Moses, you and I have had face-to-face time. Now take this information and teach the people. Not a whole lot of teaching going on. He's trying to decide out who gets the goat. Right? Whose border, whose boundary line, whose whatever. Not a whole lot of that happening because Moses is not doing the most important thing that God has called him to do. He can't do it all. You can't do it all. The Christian life is to be lived in community, and when we try to shoulder more responsibility than we can or what God has called us to shoulder, we get bogged down. You're not to try to shoulder the burden alone. Stop being the martyr. Well, no, if I don't do it, no one will do it. If I don't do it, it just won't get done right. Stop making excuses as if it all depends on you. You are called and you are placed in a place of leadership and a place of influence for a purpose. And when we get bogged down with all the other things, what God has called us to, we become less effective. Our task for all of us in this room is to make disciples. Is this not the Great Commission? As you are going about your day in life, make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father. Teach them all the things that I have taught you. This is our calling. This is our purpose. And as we lead people, discipling them should be our priority. God has put us in a circle of influence to lead people by making disciples. We share the gospel, the good news. And here's the good news, in case you don't know it. You are a sinner. And without Jesus Christ, we will all die and go to hell. But Christ and his love for us came and he lived on this earth and he died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And because he rose again, you and I have the ability to have life with him. And we have the ability to have fellowship with him. The good news is that life continues on in eternity. And we have Christ with us. Don't get caught up in the weeds of life. You fail to do what God's called you to do. The reality is you can't do it all. And the reality is also that the task is too heavy. When you think about what God has called us to do, it's too heavy of a burden for one person to try to tackle. When you think about what God has called you to do and all the other things that seem to go into play around, it's too heavy. Look at our text. Verse 17 and 18, Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What are you doing? What you are doing is not good." Listen to that. What you're doing is not good. Now, the judging of the people, was that a good thing? Did that need to take place? Heads do this, yes, right? This is a good... What was happening was a good thing. Who was doing it was a bad thing. Understand? What you are doing is not good. Why is it not good? Well, Jethro reminds him, You and the people with you will wear yourselves out. For the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how talented, how educated, no matter how scholarly, no matter how whatever, you can't do it all. You can't. Doing what is good at the expense of what is best is not good for ministry. It's not good for your ministry. Why? Because you will wear out, and the people that you're trying to minister to will wear out. Both of you will burn out. I think it's this, there's an allure, an attractiveness, I think, that comes with having authority or position or power or influence. And people seek after it because it's a good thing. It's perceived as good. And we think we can do it. I need to do this. I need to do that. Hey, there's a men's ministry need. There's a women's ministry need. There's a youth ministry. There's this. Hey, I can do it. Hey, there's something at work. There's something here. I can do it. What we see in ministering, or a need that is good and noble and worthwhile and needs to get done, and then we take it on. After all, I'm talented. I'm gifted. I'm qualified. I have the expertise. We can do it. After all, it's a good thing and it needs to get done, so why not me? A recent study was done that looked at the relationship between people in positions of a power or authority or influence and its effectiveness or its effect on the quality of life of that individual. What's the relationship with people who have authority and power and its effectiveness on their quality of life? And what they found in their study was an interesting result. They found that not only does the leader who is in this position of authority suffer at work, they also suffer at home. The study concluded that power not only prompts us to do bad things, but can also make us feel worse at home. Being in positions of power and authority as a leader can lead us to have a very negative interactions with others. And therefore not only cause us to grow weary, but cause the people that we're leading to grow weary. I mean, even the people suffer, right? Even the people suffer. Not only does it hurt your ministry when you're not leading where God has called you to lead, but you hurt the people that you're leading. Paul says in Galatians 6, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap. For in due season we will reap if we don't give up. The prophet says in Isaiah chapter 40, even the youth will faint and grow weary, and the young men will fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The task is heavy. You can't do it alone. So stop doing the good so that you can do the best. Listen to wise counsel. You know, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came to him and gave him some great advice. Chapter 18, verses 19 says this, now obey my voice, and I will give you some advice, and God will be with you. Now, Jethro is going to reiterate for Moses, Moses, here's your purpose, right? You shall represent the people before God. That's what you do. And bring their case to God. That's what you do. And you shall warn them about the statutes and laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moses, that's what you do. And do it well. But here's my advice. Look for able men from among the people. Men who fear God, who are trustworthy, hate a bribe. And place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they should bring to you, but any small matter they should decide themselves. So it will be easier for you that they may bear the burden with you. And if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. Now, make sure you see that Jethro is giving advice and counsel with the contingency that God will direct you. Make sure you pay attention to good godly counsel. counsel that is offered in connection to the will of God for your life. Verse 23, Jethro qualifies his advice. Only follow this if God wills and God directs you. Good advice is not going to be inconsistent with God's will. Good godly advice is going to help guide you. Moses was to present the people before God. He was to warn the people of the statutes and laws of God. He was to teach them the laws of God. But by being the judge of the people, he was not able to do what God had called him to do. And in effect, the ministry was suffering. This is the Great Commission. Jesus taught the disciples. God teaches Moses. Moses teaches the people. The disciples teach. They teach. This is sort of a precursor to the Great Commission. We see this playing out. We teach others. They teach others of what God has done and what God has taught us. The result is this type of leadership, when we do what God has called us to do, it lightens the burden. Other people bear the load. The yoke is easy. God's burden is light. And the people are able to live in peace. That peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So listen to good godly counsel and good godly advice. Number four, let others carry the load. Getting advice and not listening to advice is not good. So Moses does. Look at verse 24. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard cases they brought to Moses, but any small matters they decided themselves. Moses' father-in-law departed, and he went back to his own country. By listening to godly advice, by not trying to bear the burden himself, by realizing he can't do it alone, Moses now has a system in place that allows him to do the most important thing. And that is what God has called him to do. And the people now have a system in place that allow them to live better lives, inconsistent with the way God has called them. And there's a system in place where Moses is now able to disciple other leaders, to teach other leaders to be effective leaders, so they can carry out their purpose. But to do so, he had to give some ministry away. He had to give some stuff away. He had to be willing to let others carry the load. He had to be willing to delegate, give away stuff, give away responsibility, only do the best so that he wasn't bogged down with the good. You know, the church functions the same way. This is the way the body of Christ is designed. The model of the church is that we lead together. We're all pushing and going in the same direction. The older lead the younger. Women leading, men leading. We're all leading. Students leading. Many hands make light work. But when we're not leading where we are called, and we're not listening to what God has called us to do, it leads to burnout. And there are many people who have been great leaders for the Lord who are now not leading for the Lord because of this very principle. I want you to think clearly. This is what I want us to take away today. I want you to write this down if you would. Mark it in your pen. Take a photo if you got your phone, whatever. I want you to think about this in light of our study today. Leaders are going to share the work of ministry, or you're going to burn out. And not only you're going to burn out, the people are going to burn out. If you are being an effective leader, whether you're leading one or leading 100,000, you're going to share the work of ministry, or you will burn out. You will be ineffective. I know this same problem happened in the church. When the church was starting in the first century there in Acts, we see that the disciples are teaching and preaching, and the church is beginning to grow by hundreds and hundreds and thousands. And as the church was growing, they were living in community with one another. They were sharing things with one another, and they were giving food one to another. And all of a sudden, as the church began to grow to a point where the disciples realized, we're spending more time making sure that people get their food and they get distribution of this, that, and the other, that we're no longer doing the most important thing. The church has grown to a point to where we need people lead. We need people doing the good work of ministry so that we can go about doing what the best thing for us, what God has called them to do. So in Acts chapter 6, we see this play out. The 12 disciples summoned the full number of disciples. right? That'd be roughly 80, 90, 100 of them or more. And they say, it is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word to serve tables. What? You're not going to go help us do the dishes or take out the trash, or you're not going to help prepare the room, or you're what? No, no, no. They're going to stop doing the good so they can focus on the best for them. What is it that God has called them to do? God has called us to preach the Word of God. And we're going to go about preaching the Word of God, and we need somebody else to serve the tables, because that's not what God has called us to do. And it's affecting our ability to do ministry. So they did. They did. They gathered together. They picked out from among them 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom they would appoint to this duty. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So what is exciting to me about this is that what was good for the apostles so they could go do their best became the best for these 7. It wasn't just good work. It's the best work. This is what they were called to do. This is what they were led to do. The apostles gave up something that was good so they could devote themselves to do what was best. But for these 7, the good work of ministry became the best work of ministry for them. They were now doing what God had called them to do, what God equipped them to do, what God had inspired or motivated. This was their calling. We're all formed and fashioned into the body. Some are hands, some are feet, some are ears, some are eyes. And we're in the body of Christ. When hands want to be ears and eyes want to be noses, and the body suffers. But when we're all where God has positioned us, leading the way God has called us, the whole body prospers and the church grows and the kingdom of God is expanded. The church is set up to function this very way. The church has pastors and elders to lead the church. Pastors lead, teach, preach as part of the staff. Elders lead, they provide oversight. Some of them teach as they lead the church. And when the church is being led by people who are serving the way God has called them to serve, the church functions better. When people who are doing the best instead of the good, ministry thrives. You know, at Calvary, we've identified some men in our church who have been called by God to not do the good, but to do the best for them. Some to serve as pastors and a couple to serve as elders. And we're going through the process with them to affirm this in their life, and we hope to bring them before the church here before long to let you hear and see what God has called them to do. So they will lead the church as pastors and elders. The goal for us today is to identify what is the good that I can give away and give up and stop doing so that I can spend my time doing the best. And it doesn't mean the good it shouldn't be done. It's got to get done. But let the person who's designed for that do it so that you can do what God has called you to do. Stop doing good so that you can do the best of what God has called you to do. This morning I'd like, in our worship guide here, there's a little section here called Next Steps. I'd like to draw your attention to that. We believe that when the Word of God is preached, it demands a response. And my request for you today is, what is the Lord speaking to you about this morning? We have a couple of ways for you to respond here on the Next Steps. Maybe you can say, today, maybe this is the first time you've heard the gospel, that Jesus came, He died on the cross for you, that you could live with Him. And you want to know more about that, or you'd like to follow Christ as your Savior. Mark that block. Or maybe you realize you need to take some things out of your life. Maybe you have to say, I'm doing too much. I'm doing too much good that I'm not doing the best. So maybe you mark that. Pray that I can listen to wise counsel and prioritize my ministry so I can lead more effectively. Maybe you need to add some things to your life. Maybe you need to add this. Maybe I'm trying to lead alone and the tasks are causing burnout. Pray that I find partners to help lead in ministry. How is God speaking to you? Maybe it's some other way. Maybe God is speaking to you in some other. Write that down. Turn this, as the offering is passed in a few moments, turn this, tear this off, place this in the offering plate. The pastors and elders would love to pray for you as God is leading you. You can fill that out on the app and submit that. We would love to know how God is speaking to you today so that we can pray for you and help you and lead you in what God is doing. So let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to serve you. I thank you for your leader, Moses, and the example he was to us as he became a better and better leader by giving up the good to do the best, by putting people around him who could lead, by making disciples, by following you, and doing what it is that you have called him to. Lord, I pray that you would help us model that. I pray that you would help us see that in our life. Lord, that we would get rid of the good so that we can do the best, so that we will share the load of ministry, so that we don't burn out, so that we can rest in your peace, that we can run and not grow weary, we can walk and not faint, we can soar like on the wings of eagles, because we're doing the good work of ministry. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we go our separate ways today. Pray that you would help us to serve you in a way that pleases you and brings you honor. And we give you the praise for what you're going to do. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.